before the top of the hour, that is at 8, you're on Rise FM in 60 minutes. It's definitely a pleasure to have you with us on our program. Initiation is a noble African tradition that represents a rite of passage into adulthood that should be marked by joy instead of sorrow. The MEC of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs has urged all departments and law enforcement agencies, together with traditional leaders, to increase, you know, the preventative and consequence management to prevent the carnage of young men. Now, this follows eight, since, you know, these are the reported numbers that we have at our disposal of numbers of initiates who have succumbed after having gone into the initiation camp. And this evening I'm joined to speak more on the safety of the schools. The initiates is the Provincial Initiation Coordinating Committee spokesperson, Mr. Haskin Maluka. He joins us now on the line to help us understand, you know, how safe is it for young men or young boys to undergo this adulthood process here in the province of Mpumalanga. Mr. Maluka, I really appreciate your time.
Thank you very much, and thank you to Ms. Nasser as well.
Maybe I'd like us to begin our conversation by maybe reflecting on the latest numbers of those initiates who have now succumbed at your disposal, because we were told about a total figure of eight. Is that the same number that you have?
I think there is a miscalculation there. The actual number that we have is seven. And I can tell you where those deaths occurred.
Okay.
Without being specific to a school, but I can mention the areas.
Yes.
So that you could understand, and also for the benefit of your listeners.
Mm.
We have one in the Arena area.
Yes.
One in a farm called Nate Hedacht, which is situated in between Middleburg and Stoffberg. And we've got one in Andrina. We have got three in Delmas. And we've got one in Leslie, the Andra area.
Yeah.
Those are the deaths that we have officially, as I am speaking to you now.
Yeah.
Now, you alluded to the issue of safety.
Yeah.
In our schools. Look, we have the new act that regulated this noble ritual that came into place last year, which is called the Customer Initiation Act. In short, nobody called it CIA.
Mm.
Now, this legislation requires that each and every school be registered with the chief or the inkosi if the person himself is not an inkosi.
Sure.
That person will normally make an application to the chief, to the inkosi or to the chief, that I would want to practice this noble culture.
Yeah.
And the chief will then issue permission. Now, that permission is issued with conditions that, one, that person should have identified land and make sure that that land is available.
Mm.
To have that school, because some of our people who normally want to practice this initiation, they are residing in farms which they are not owning.
Mm.
So now, to be more sure that the land is available, that person therefore then also prove to the chief of that area that this area where I'm gonna have this school is under this farm, and the farm owner is so and so, and here is the permission. The farm owner has agreed that I can practice this ritual.
Mm.
It has been a noble practice throughout, it has been a norm over the years.
Yeah.
Now, in areas where the chiefs have got total control, they'll just issue that permission to that particular person.
Mm.
And then the second condition is that there should be water provision or water supply in that particular area or that school, so that the initiates will be able to have water you know, the normal life continues. They must eat, and that eating will require water to cook, and so on and so on. They must also drink water, you know, so that you know the importance of water in our bodies. Now, that being the case, that school therefore will declare it to be a registered school, because the chief will then be able to process that application through to PICC, which is the body that also allows or gives pensions. Then what then we do from there is to establish a task team, the task team which composes of number of stakeholders. The stakeholders will include your South African Police Service, will include Department of Health, will include COCTA itself, will include NPA, it will include local forums, active structures that have got direct interest into this practice. And now what then happens here is we will have these teams monitoring all of these compliance issues. From the health perspective then, the health officials will be composing of our EMS officials, pathologists, professional nurses, and doctors, as well as support staff who are just non-clinical but have gone through the ritual. Now, all of these people that I'm referring to must have been also gone through the ritual. No one is allowed if they have not qualified to... They are not qualified to go into the mountains or into those schools, you know. So that's the basic condition.
Yeah, Mr. Maluka.
Now,
I'd like to pose a few questions to you, maybe just for the purpose of our time, you know, and try and and maybe ascertain, you know, the current state of where we are, particularly from the Provincial Initiation Coordinating Committee's perspective. You know, one of those questions would be at the point of the conversation that we've had, you know, especially with the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, they were not able to disclose to us the cause of death of some of those initiates. At this point, are you at liberty to share?
I may not be able to share for all of those initiates. Because with some of them, we're still waiting for post-mortem results. But I can share some of those to say what we have found from the forensic audit reports is that some deaths are due to pneumonia. Some deaths are due to asthma, which are some conditions. Here in this case, there is one case which in which the initiate had his medication but could not declare that he's under, I mean, he has his medication and he's supposed to take that medication. So then he just got complicated and unfortunately passed on. Now, once perhaps we have all the forensic report results, we then can be able to share with all of you. And then so that you can understand what therefore then is happening.
Yeah. I suppose, as a committee, does it at any point raises your eyebrows that, you know, most of the schools are from a particular region, which is Nkangala in this case?
It does raise eyebrows without pointing fingers, of course, because normally each and every nation, they've got their own way of practicing their cultural activities. In this case, in Ntangala, you find that we've got different tribes, if I have to use the word tribe. And predominantly, you will find Ndebele people. And Ndebele people will normally start to practice this noble activity from April, going into May and June. Some of them, they come back and so on and so on. So it differs from tribe to tribe. Like, for instance, in the Bushbuckridge area, they are upcoming in June. You know, so that's how they practice it. But then, also in Tangala, you still find Sotho-speaking people. But then, unfortunately, then they therefore also had to fall within the time frames of April, from April to June.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they are, of course, as communities, you know, we interact and so on and so on, and for various reasons, you know.
Mm-hmm.
People then had to align themselves.
Yeah. If you just join into the conversation, I'm chatting to the PICC, that is the Provincial Initiation Coordinating Committee spokesperson, Ubabu Heskin Maluka. He's helping us understand the safety around the initiation schools that are in the province of Mpumalanga. Now he has given us the latest numbers that about 7 initiates have succumbed, and after having gone their adulthood route, in becoming indoor, as normally they would say. But Maluka, you know, there's this one thing that is mandated on the functions of the PICC, which is
ICC.
Yes, you know, which is to facilitate and constantly make those visits during the period of the initiation process. You know, now the question would be, you know, we've seen over the years there's been mushrooming of illegal schools in the province and in various other provinces of initiation schools. Are you able to tell us that from the 7 that have succumbed, are they, those initiation schools are within your register?
Correct. What happens is that the PICC, like I've said, we keep register, and unfortunately, because the act has just we just started to implement it, like I said, it came into place last year. It also requires that we should have a database of each and everyone, which is currently what we are doing.
Mm.
Now, all the schools that we found that the initiative have succumbed, we found that they are registered. In other words, those school principals had permissions. You know, to continue practicing this particular ritual. So that we are certain about it, there's no problem. Now, added to that is that we have the collaboration that I spoke about of stakeholders, because we're using that multi-sectoral approach. If we found that this school is not complying meaning that it does not have permission,
sure,
or the permission is not credible. For instance, in the past, we used to have permissions that are issued by king chiefs in other provinces like Limpopo and so on and so on. So then this year we said, no. The act is very clear as to what must happen.
Yeah.
The provincial PICCs should be taking the lead and facilitate these processes. Mm-hmm. This is what we're doing. Now, we just simply therefore then involve the police as a partner in this case.
Sure.
To say, no, that school is not compliant with the act. This is the issue. Can you go investigate, get all the facts, and close that school if it is found not to be compliant?
Mm.
And that's what they do.
Yeah.
So we have seen that there is huge reduction of that now, as I'm talking to you.
Maybe as a parting shot in our conversation, as a committee, to what degree then do you reflect on the role that you play, considering that your functions include to monitor and evaluate the general functioning of initiation school during the initiation period?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what we do is we have sat down as a committee immediately after the inception of this act, defined those roles, and tasked each other. So what is it that you should be doing? Some of these functions, of course, they are right in the act. You cannot even decide not to do it to avoid it. For instance, the act requires that you should have officials participate. You should have traditional leaders participate. You should have amakos in numbers. You should have women as well, because you also have the women practice of this ritual. Now, those are our core issues. Then we've also developed a communication strategy, which is part of what I'm doing now. Yes. Now, this communication strategy goes on to involve each and everyone who is a partner or who has got also direct interest in this thing, including the parents and the entire community in general. That's what we'll be doing. We then also continue to monitor on a regular basis. As I'm talking to you, we've got teams. They could either be at this stage, the health officials who either are responding to issues upon a call, or they are in our rescue tents, and we've got these other officials who are also non-clinical from the different sectors. Then, therefore, they are also able to go monitor, check. The monitoring goes on to issues of checking compliance with the legislation, checking whether the preschool principal is providing sufficient water to these children or this initiates the curricula as well, which is quite important because we are talking about targeted audience here. Sure. That the kind of information that you translate and transplant into these children, into these initiates, should be the kind of education that makes them men in the future.
Mm.
So that when they are out of the post schooling and they come back, integrate back into the society, they should be leading by example. It shouldn't be a question of saying in order. What is the meaning of this in order?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
How do you understand it? You want to see this in order being a man who has gone, who has been inculcated with good values that will be promoting, for instance, in this case, the new dispensation of Christian democracy.
Yeah.
Issues like Maluk- of gender violence, and so on and so on.
Yes.
So we're beginning to address those issues, you know, so that we have better men when they come out there.
Yeah. Dada Maluk, I really appreciate your time, and maybe let's pocket here for this evening. We'll definitely reconvene again and maybe reflect on the success that, you know, some of the initiation schools would have had at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate your time.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. Mpumalanga, that was the initiation. Thank you so much, Bab Maluka. Initiation Coordinating Committee spokesperson Haskin Maluka speaking to us here on Rise FM in 60 Minutes around the safety of initiates in the province of Mpumalanga. You're on Rise FM in 60 Minutes. It's just gone 11 after 8.